Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everyone. This is Curly Conspiracies. I'm Holly Lowerman, and I will be your host this week. Here with me is Brooke Sasser.
Hi, everyone.
Today, I have a story for you about a tip that the police received during a murder investigation about a video circulating the dark web in Pakistan that ended with finding the remains of a mummified 2,600-year-old Persian princess that was about to be sold on the black market. But details about this discovery made investigators skeptical about its authenticity, and once more research was done, what they found was much more disturbing than they had ever imagined. So, let's put on our tinfoil hats and unwrap this mystery. Every day you hear about the discovery of a mummy. Those are few and far between these days, since many of them have already been excavated. So, in October of the year 2000, authorities in Karachi, Pakistan, were in the middle of a murder investigation when they stumbled upon an extraordinary find. While trying to solve the case, they started questioning possible suspects and people close to the murder victim. One of them tipped off police and showed them a video that had surfaced through the criminal underground that showed a glimpse of a 600 BCE Persian princess mummy in a sarcophagus selling for 600 million rupees, or $11 million. Surprised, they started to figure out who had taped this video and where this archaeological find was being held. You see, in Pakistan, it was and still is illegal to sell historical artifacts or even be in possession of them if they are over 50 years old. These findings need to be assessed, whether it is real or not, how old it actually is, historical value, how much it's worth, where it should go, and more. A find like this would be huge for tourism in Pakistan. Law enforcement immediately traced the video to Ali Akbar. He claimed that he did not have the mummy, but that he did indeed make the video. He led police to Quetta, a city 420 miles away in the northern part of Pakistan, to show them the mummy. Police raided the home of a tribal leader named Wali Mohammed Riki on October 19, 2000. Riki also stated that the sarcophagus and the mummy inside was allegedly given to him by Sharif Shah Baki, and Baki originally found the sarcophagus in Iran after an earthquake. The sarcophagus was just sticking out of the ground, he claimed. He decided to take it, claim it for himself, and get Riki to sell it on the black market. Akbar was only there to make the video of the mummy and the sarcophagus. The officials found out that both Riki and Baki had planned to split the earnings of selling the mummy. It was later confirmed that there actually had been an earthquake in Iran too, so his story seemed to pan out. Later on, Ali Akbar and Wali Mohammed Riki were both apprehended and charged with violating Pakistan's Antiquity Act for a maximum of a 10-year prison sentence. Baki was never arrested, though. Some sources stated that the police questioned him once and then never found him again, and other sources stated that they never even found Baki at all after finding out that he was the one who originally found the sarcophagus. At this point, authorities are not even entirely sure Sharif Shah Baki was even his real name. So if you are thinking there's some major red flags here and holes missing in this story, you are not alone. And it only gets worse. So the sarcophagus was taken to Pakistan's National Museum to be examined, and right away, the researchers were ecstatic. Never had they studied anything like this in their museum before. Inside the carved wooden sarcophagus was the embalmed body. When she was alive, she would have been about 4'7". She was wrapped in bandages with her arms crossed over her chest, and placed on her chest was an engraved gold plate. She also wore a magnificent gold crown, and under her was a reed mat with a stone cover. According to Emma Tilton's article on Penn State University's website, the princess was believed to be Rodagun, who was a lesser-known daughter of Xerxes. And if you don't know who Xerxes is, he was the king known for the massive invasion of Greece in 480 BCE. If you have seen the movie 300, that was actually about that invasion, and Xerxes was the antagonist. But of course, the movie took its own rights with the story, so it's loosely based on the event. But anyways, so scientists believed this Persian princess to be his daughter because the sarcophagus was inscribed with the words, quote, "I am the daughter of the great king Xerxes. Masarika, protect me. I am Rodagun. I am," end quote. This inscription was in cuneiform, which was a written language used in ancient Persia. The other part of the quote where it says, "Masarika, protect me," I actually don't know what this means because I have looked and looked for this name and tried different spellings, but I didn't find anything on it besides other articles that were talking about this specific mystery. But the other parts of the inscription were very exciting to researchers because this discovery could change what we knew about history as we know it, because mummification was almost exclusively an Egyptian tradition. For her to be mummified raised a lot of questions and theories. Maybe she married someone who was Egyptian and wanted to use their practices to be buried, or maybe she was actually Egyptian and kidnapped when she was younger and raised as King Xerxes' daughter and wanted to honor the customs of Egypt and be buried that way. But others were more skeptical of the idea. They had a difficult time believing a Persian princess would be mummified. No one of Persian descent had been buried this way before. Other people had different ideas on who she could be besides Rodagun, such as the daughter of one of the rulers during the reign of Cyrus I. People think this because she was actually an Egyptian princess that married a Persian prince. Another idea is that she was an unknown person in Egyptian royalty and smugglers took the sarcophagus and added the inscriptions later. Soon after, the news began to spread about finding a mummified Persian princess, which caused a lot of issues. Before we continue, let's take a quick commercial break. All right, let's get back to how the news began to spread and cause problems for Pakistan. Other countries were learning about what the Pakistan's National Museum had just obtained, and Iran was furious. Because Iran used to be Persia, and that the mummy was found at the Iranian border. They believed that the Persian princess belonged to their country. According to the website archive.archaeology.org, writers Rose and Romy write that UNESCO ended up having to intervene as they debated who should have her. Even the Taliban tried to lay claim on the artifact, arguing that the coffin was actually found in Afghanistan and that they caught the smugglers who confessed to the crime. The story that the Taliban alleged didn't add up, though, and once they figured out the other countries didn't believe them, they stopped trying to pursue their claim. Some people within Pakistan weren't happy either, though. When the police raided the tribal leader's house to take the coffin from Quetta in the National Museum in Karachi, the people in Quetta were angry because they believed that she was actually part of the royal family near there and that she needed to be at their local museum. As tensions were rising, so were other problems. While examining the body, they were realizing that there were some oddities that didn't sit right with them. For instance, the way she was mummified didn't exactly follow the proper practices in Egypt. So I'm going to dig a little bit into the mummification process, so if you don't want to hear all that, you can skip about 30 seconds. So, during the mummification process, all of the organs were taken out of the body except the heart. But when they did x-rays and CAT scans of the Persian princess, they noticed that her heart had been removed. Also, in order for Egyptians to take the brain out without damaging the skull, they had to break part of the nose to get the brain out, but the Persian princess's nose was fully intact. On top of all of this, the tendons in her body had not decayed as much as other mummies either. Researchers began to be skeptical of the whole situation. There were many inconsistencies in regards to other mummies of the time period. Skepticism only grew when Oscar White Muscalara of the Metropolitan Museum of Art was asked his thoughts about the Persian princess mummy. He decided to look into the matter, and when he did, the details of the case seemed strangely familiar to him. Back in March of that same year in 2000, he had someone from New Jersey contact him about an artifact that he was selling from Pakistan. He received pictures of this mummy with the gold plate, wooden coffin, and crown that looked exactly like the Persian princess. There was also a letter with the offer to tell about the history, which included that it was moved from Iran to Pakistan years ago, and it was the daughter of Xerxes. At first, Muscalara was really intrigued by this offer, but he wanted to make sure it was authentic. Because he wasn't as familiar with cuneiform, he sent it to be analyzed, and the report came back with the following information. The inscriptions on the coffin and the breastplate were inconsistent with the old Persian written language. It had grammatical errors, and even one part of it was completely plagiarized by the famous inscription of King Darius from 522 to 486 BC. Pencil marks were also found around the inscriptions, making scientists believe it was to help guide the carving, but pencils were not around back then. He believed the mummy and the coffin to be from the 1930s and that it was a forgery.
Is there a reason why people are assuming it's from the 1930s?
That's a great question, and I actually don't know why he pinpointed that it couldn't be earlier than the 1930s, because it does seem to be pretty specific, and I mean, a lot of others actually were pretty surprised by this conclusion.
That is really interesting. So does he still believe that it was made or falsified in Iran?
Well, I think he probably still thinks that it could be from Iran, because even though the inscriptions had grammatical errors, it still stumped a lot of researchers and made them believe it was actually cuneiform.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah, and this news really did take everyone back, and some even had difficulty accepting this conclusion. So another researcher decided to take a piece of the coffin to the lab to be carbon dated, and it was found to be 250 years old, which confirmed the fact that it was indeed a forgery. Even Iranian scientists were allowed to come see the mummy for themselves, and they too realized that it was not an authentic artifact. So this whole time, all of these countries were fighting over a forgery. The coffin and the inscription were fake, but the body was very real. So the question still stood, who was the woman inside the coffin? So the researchers decided to do an autopsy and a CT scan to learn more about the mystery woman. According to the CT scan, the woman was about 21 years old and had a fractured spine, which was caused by a blunt object. In the autopsy, the report stated that the cause of death was from a broken neck. Now, there are conflicting sources on this stating that the fractured spine had actually caused her death and not the broken neck. But either way, after finding this out, law enforcement in Pakistan decided to open this up as a murder case and start investigating.
So did they officially determine that she was murdered?
Actually, the autopsy came back as inconclusive. They really couldn't tell if she was actually murdered or not, but just in case, investigators opened it up as a murder case so that they could find out the truth of what happened.
That actually seems like the police are trying to cover their bases, which seems like this case is somewhat heading in the right direction.
Yeah, and to find out more about this mystery woman, they also did carbon dating, and it was determined that she died in 1996.
Wow, that seems so recent, way more recent than I was originally thinking.
I know, right? I thought the carbon dating was going to show that she was going to be much older. And the two men that tried to sell the mummy were interrogated again, but unfortunately, nothing came of it. And the one man that supposedly found the sarcophagus has still never been found to this day. So before we continue on to the theories, let's take a quick commercial break.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
All right. Before we dig into the theories, I do want to say that there is little to no evidence for any of these theories. Unfortunately, no further information has been found to lead the investigation one way or another. So to be honest, these are all pretty vague ideas, but here is what people think happened. So the first theory is that the woman's body was stolen by grave robbers and then made into a mummy, put into a sarcophagus, and then was attempted to be sold on the black market as the mummy of a Persian princess. It was never fully determined whether the blow by the blunt object was officially deliberate or an accident. Some think that she could have died from a car accident or a fall. Another spinoff to this theory is that some articles have mentioned that a family could have had their daughter die accidentally and had been approached by smugglers to sell her body for money. Maybe they were in desperate need of money and they weren't aware of what was going to be done with it. As I was researching the mummification process, I read that Oscar Muscalara stated that the whole process would take about 70 days to complete, and that the best time to start this process is within 24 hours. So that means that the body would probably need to be, for lack of a better term, fresh before starting it, meaning that the grave robbers would need to know about the funeral, plan accordingly, and then take the body. Again, there's nothing to corroborate this theory, and I hate to say this, but this is the least horrible of the theories I'm going to talk about today. The next theory is that this poor woman was murdered, and then as a way to cover up the fact that she was killed, she was made into a mummy. Because of the condition the body was in, it was difficult to learn about the victim and identify who she was. This also destroyed any other evidence in or on the body, making it difficult to determine what actually happened. Therefore, it would make covering up a murder plausible. The problem with this idea, though, is that it's a lot of work. I mean, the mummification process takes 70 days to complete. And I hate to say this, but there are easier ways to dispose of a body. The last theory is that she was unfortunately killed for this actual purpose, to be a part of this forgery black market scheme. The thought is that this woman was murdered so that the criminals could have a woman to mummify and make millions. This plan had to be in the works for years and cost a lot of money, making or finding the coffin, creating the inscriptions, researching about mummies, carving the stone, embalming the body, and learning a dead written language. To continue, they would have had to find a woman to kill. People think in order to make this possible, they would need to pick a woman who didn't have any family or she was turned away by society, making her an easier target because not as many people would be looking for her once she went missing. They also would need to start mummifying her quickly for it to look authentic. And as terrible of a thought as this is, there's not really anything to disprove this being possible. And that's it for the theories, but to add on to the horribleness of this situation, this may have not been the only incident of this happening. Authorities have let on that there have been two other mummies being sold on the black market that are probably forgeries. I was never able to find anything about these two other claims, but that means that there might be two other people that were mummified to be a part of this scheme. And to think, earlier in 2000, the sellers of the Persian princess were offered $1 million from a Western collector, but the sellers declined because they were wanting $11 million. If they had sold the Persian princess mummy, it may have never been known that this was a way people conspired together to get rich, by making someone into a mummy to sell as a historical artifact. It is truly sickening to think about this. Her body might have been stolen by grave robbers, sold to smugglers, murdered and mummified to cover it up, or killed as a part of the forgery black market scheme. So, what do you think happened, Brooke?
I wasn't expecting this case to be so sad, but it really is. To think that there's a potential that a woman was murdered for this purpose and still unable to be identified is so scary. And to know that there were two more potential cases after the fact too. At the beginning of this episode, I was thinking I'd be leaning more towards them being gravediggers, finding a random mummy from long ago and passing it off. But after hearing about the mistakes and the carbon dating, it seems rushed. I can't get over the death may have occurred in 1996. If it truly did, and they would have had to start mummifying within 72 hours, this seems to be 100% due to malicious intent. Whether it was them scoping out grieving families or hunting a girl down, it's shocking to think what people are capable of, especially with the motive of money. If this eventually turns out to be the correct theory, I hope police and investigators are able to quickly find the perpetrators so this stops immediately. I don't know though, Holly, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like this story took such a turn of events that I was not expecting. I thought it was just about a mummy that was going to be a forgery, but it turned out to be so much more than that. We really have no idea what happened to this woman. We don't know where she came from, who her family is, what her life was like, what caused her death, or her identity. All we know for sure is that her body was mummified so that criminals could get money. I don't want to think that she was murdered and someone tried to find a way to cover up their tracks and thought, let me turn her into a mummy and make a profit. I mean, I feel like that's very elaborate to be thinking on your feet like that. And I mean, this seems like it took a lot of time and planning, but it's just kind of still bizarre to me that they put in so much effort into some things, but then didn't into others. Like for instance, when taking out the organs, they took out all of them instead of leaving the heart, or they did all of the engraving in a whole nother language and did so much research on the history of Persia, but then left pencil marks, which, I mean, seems like a pretty big mistake and odd that they wouldn't have thought to erase the pencil mark. So I agree with you when you said it seemed rushed, because some of these mistakes do seem like maybe they were in a rush. I feel like, though, they were probably grave robbers where the body was sold by her family that needed money, and maybe there was something wrong with the heart in the woman's body that would have made it obvious that she was a fake. So they took it out and hoped no one would notice. One thing that made me think, though, that she might have been killed for the cruel intended purpose of this scheme was because the mummification process had to be within 24 hours. But I did actually read up a little bit about burial customs in Pakistan. And guys, please let me know if this is wrong or not. But burials are supposed to take place as quickly as possible. And if this is the case, then a grave robber taking her body within 24 hours might actually be plausible. I would truly hate to think that this woman's life was cut short for this scheme. So I'm going to leave toward it being grave robbers or smugglers. So what do you all think? Was her body stolen by grave robbers, sold to smugglers, killed then mummified, or was she killed for the intended purpose of their plan on making millions? The thing is, she might have been a murder victim, and still, over 20 years later, we have no idea. It is so unfortunate that this poor woman was the hot topic everyone was talking about and countries were fighting over to pretty much not talked about at all overnight. Even the spokesman of the Eddie Charity Foundation stated, quote, "No one is interested in it anymore," end quote. The foundation didn't have enough money to keep her body, so after back and forth with the government and the police, they made the decision to bury her, so at least she could have a proper burial. But it is just disheartening. It was as if, because she was an ancient Persian royalty, the governments treated her as if her life didn't matter. But it does. The Persian princess mummy might have been a forgery, but the woman behind the bandages was not. She was a woman that had a real story that needs to be told. Thank you guys for tuning in today and diving into this mystery with us. Go check out our website if you want to see our sources, pictures, and other information from this episode at curlyconspiracies.com. You can also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok and search for the handle Curly Conspiracies. This podcast is brought to you by Megwa Rin Productions. Brooke Sasser is a scriptwriter, host, and researcher. Holly Lowerman is a scriptwriter, host, and researcher. Chris Sasser Photography and Graphic Design, Roundtable Audio Productions, and the theme music is composed by Victor Wayne Music Production in Envato Market.